You got the mully grubs. I hate it when time changes. Looks like I've been at this long enough to have sense to have church at 12 o'clock. Baptists get mean when they miss sleep. They mean enough with a lot of rest. Somebody say amen right there, buddy. And I'm telling you what, God is good. God's faithful. Wish that, Brother Will, you turn me off right here. To Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7. Let's stand on the reading of the Word of God. Luke's Gospel 7. Boy, the Lord's given me a thought on this passage. Now I want to share it with you this morning. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. If you wish your time hadn't changed, say amen. But Tim said, we have inquired none. I said, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, man? I'm just going to try to get through this sermon this morning. If y'all stay out of Walmart this evening, you can rest. All right, I got to blow my nose. Hang on. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7. Boy, God's good. So good. Won't you please listen to this sermon? It's not that I've pinned it down, but it's what God has said in this text. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's mind-boggling what's in our text of the truth this morning. Luke 7, verse 11, it came to pass the day after. Church, I'd rather preach than anything I've ever done. What opportunities. But Brother Mike, we wouldn't have nothing to say if it wasn't for this. Came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. That's a big statement. And he came and he touched the bier. That's a coffin. And they that bare him stood still. They down at the graveyard now. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up. And they left town. Somebody say amen. Huh. Hey, Brother Chuck, I'd love to have been there that day, brother. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. What a Jesus. There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet's risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Thank you for standing this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together. Help us now, Holy Ghost. I need you to help me to preach this morning. God, would you make your word so real today? Help somebody in this place, I'd ask you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, we've been in the series of miracles of the Master. There are some 33 miracles in our Bible that Jesus did. We'd preach there at the Cana of Galilee, at the marriage where the wine had run out, and The Bible said this beginning of miracles did Jesus. There we seen the first miracle. And then we seen a little lad leave home with a lunch, and there was 5,000 needed to be fed. And then we found a feeding miracle. And then we found there Simon Peter's mother's mother laid of a fever sick. Jesus came and touched her, removed that fever, and she got up and ministered to everybody in the house. We seen the first miracle and the feeding miracle and the fever miracle. This morning, I want to talk just a few minutes here on a funeral miracle. A funeral miracle. First of all, notice there were two crowds involved. The Bible said in verse number 11 of Luke 7, come to pass the day after he went to a city called Nain, many of his disciples went with him. I'm glad I'm in that crowd today. See, there was one crowd following Christ. In verse 12, there was one crowd following a coffin. The Bible said, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. I'm glad I'm with him and not them. There was one crowd that was following Christ to glory. There was another crowd following a coffin to the graveyard. There was one crowd that was following Christ to life. There was one that was following a coffin to death. I'm glad that I'm with Christ this morning. And I'm glad Christ is with me. This is amazing, and it's the way things happen. God's crowd comes along and meets another crowd. And God does things that neither crowd can do by themselves. I'm glad I'm in the Christ crowd this morning. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like being a Christian. We take it for granted being a Christian, but I'm going to tell you, we've got the greatest opportunities that we've ever had in our life to be a Christian. Because it's dark outside. There are things that are so limited outside of what this Bible is full of. It just may be the reason that God has you following Him is that you may impact somebody that's following somebody else. I'm glad He can let two groups run together and miracles happen. Now, you may be here and lost and undone without Jesus. I want to tell you, you're following a crowd to the graveyard. I'm glad that I'm numbered in the blood-washed band, that I'm following Jesus to glory. Can I tell you, heaven will fix it all. Thank God there'll be no more dying. There'll be no more separation. Boy, I sure am glad for the day that I got on the Lord's side. And there's nothing like serving Him and walking with Him, because you'll see great and mighty things if you're in His crowd. Now we see in this text that there's a funeral miracle. We see the crowd was involved. But in verse 12, there was a crisis involved. You'll notice in verse number 12, the Bible said that there was a lady there that was weeping. And so we find the seriousness of her problem. Now I want to say something. Be careful how that you itemize or numerize people's problem, because maybe the problem that's really bothering them, you just don't think it's much of a problem. But you always remember this, everybody's got some problems and some issues. I like what my mentor told me, Brother Levon Boatner. He said, now, if you never know what to preach, just preach on trouble, because everybody's got some trouble. I wish as God's people we're immune to trouble, but we're not. So there's the seriousness of the problem. I want to say that death had invaded her home. Now, When death comes, it's no respecter of persons. We notice it was the time of death, and then we notice there is the threat of death, but then for the unsaved, there's the terror of death. I'll remind you that no doubt don't know how old this young man was that was in this bier, in this coffin, but we do know that his mother was present and his mother had outlived him. Let me tell you something. Just because your mama may be a little older than you, don't you think you're going to outlive her? Because you don't have the promise of when we're leaving out of this life. You can just have a promise that you can have a home after this life if you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd love to tell all of you young people this morning that you have time, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're looking at a preacher that could be preaching your funeral within a week. I'll be honest with you, when I'm on the road preaching and a church member calls, I just draw up thinking some tragedy has happened. And we never know when death is coming to us. And young people, you better realize that eternity is too long to be wrong. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for you and your sin. And you don't have to die and go to hell in your sin. I was looking for some people back here this morning. Last Sunday, I come off the series because I felt God move me. I preached a message on hell, and I noticed they ain't back this morning. I hope that message is with them wherever they are this morning. Eternity's too long to be wrong. A lot of people just want a little preacher, a little puppet, a little politician just to give them something that feels a little good. But honey, let me tell you something. You done walked up into a country church this morning where there's some preaching going on. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shine. And if you don't get saved, hell will be your home. That's not in the Reader's Digest. That's in the King James Bible. That's right. Jesus saves. Ain't you glad Jesus saves? Therefore, you'll notice this time of death and this tragedy of death. And I can tell you, there's not a family in this church that hadn't been touched by it. Miss Peggy, I won't say this. I know you labored a long time with your mother. Miss Peggy called me a few months ago and said, "Preacher, you won't see me at church much. I'm going to spend these last days with Mother." You know what I said? That's where you need to be. We left this church last Sunday, walked in them folks' home, and there's her mother about to cross. Honey, let me tell you, there was a peace of God in that room like no other place. You can't tell me it don't pay to serve our God. Our God will see you through things in life. Now, I don't know if this woman ever knew the Lord or not. All I know was her boy had died. These folks are carrying him to his grave. And all of a sudden, here comes another crowd following glory. Hey! There's a big crowd following that to the grave, but thank God I'm in the crowd going to glory. Hallelujah. I don't know if she'd ever heard of Jesus or not. I just don't know. We got missionaries going all across this country, and one of the biggest mission fields we've got is Bowdoin, Georgia. You'd be amazed the people in our town, in our county, that knows nothing about how to get to heaven. Oh, they got churches on every corner. We seen one this week. Me and Miss Renee was riding. She said, "Hun, there's your new sermon. March the 8th, come to church, and we're going to fly a kite." I said, "I can tell you why they're flying a kite, because the preacher don't know nothing about preaching." Somebody say amen. Yeah. Bless the Lord. If you want to fly a kite, fly it on Saturday. Yeah. But Sunday's the Lord's day. Amen. It's time to preach and get in on what God's doing in our life. Anybody can fly a kite. I know some of you say, "Preacher, I wish you was flying a kite." I'm flying it high this morning, honey. I don't know if she'd ever met the Lord. But I can tell you one thing in God's providence. And young man, you said it right. Don't get so caught away in the providence of God to lose the responsibility of man, because there's balance there. Man has a choice. He has a decision to make for God. But God, through His foreknowledge and His truth and His forethoughts, can run you right into His crowd and give you the greatest opportunity that you've ever had in your life. Now, she's coming from her town. He's coming from his. She's marching out, and there's a crowd toting a coffin. And guess what? Her boy's in there. There's a word there in the Greek that has a play on words, and it's so much like the John 3:16 word of boy or son. It was her only one. She didn't have no more to give up. Isn't it amazing sometimes that God will come by and let things that you only have one of die on you? A lot like what Brother Adam said. You know what? This young man preached a great message this morning. I like the content in it. And I'm going to tell you something. That God knows what He's a-doing. And we better be sure that we trust in Him in everything. Because I'm going to tell you what God's goal for us is. That we would get weak so He could become strong. We know. Listen to your preacher. I was in a church this week that's tore all to pieces because of sin. But you know how they got help? They listened to the Word of God preached from the man of God and they responded. You better hear me and hear me well. The devil knows where you go to church. The devil can't padlock these doors, but you can. God allowed the only thing she had to die. You ever notice how we take things for granted? I take my wife for granted. I've always took my parents for granted. Till I left home, I found out I wasn't near as smart as I thought I was, brother. When I topped Mount Eagle Mountain, come to Bowden, Georgia, and a light bill come in, I found out Daddy had a little sense about him. This week was preaching about an hour from Mama. And, hey, Brother Will, you're going to be muting all morning. Cut this off. And it's the best buffet I've ever... But you know, she went in there. She's the happiest person. You'd have thought we was at New York City. There come other little people on the rockers. She's just waving. And I got to thinking. I said, Renee, she said, where are you taking your mama to lunch? Red Lobster? I said, no. She wants to go to a place called Farmers. And I noticed Renee's feathers sort of fell just a little bit. Isn't it amazing? My mama takes little steps on the walker. But when I let her out the shoe store, she does this. That reminds me of some of y'all doing that in church. You know, you barely make it. When the bell rings, praise God, you out of this place. I mean, you ready, buddy? Praise God, He said amen. Oh, what a time. She went in, picked out a little pair of shoes. I wouldn't care if that brought, I wouldn't care what the price was. I'd have pawned my watch to buy it. She got back in that car and I kissed her bye. Boy, I tell you what, I thank God this was this woman's only son. We take a lot of things for granted. Be careful, don't take everything for granted. All of a sudden, here comes the crowd, here comes the crowd. One following Christ, one following a coffin, and they meet. And then I see something right here that the Lord has showed me. You'll notice in this crisis there's a seriousness of the problem. But then, secondly, there's the sadness of the problem. She had double trouble. You see this? The Bible said in verse number 12, she was a widow and her child had died. It don't take you long to look down the road just to really see just how good you do got it. Now, we see this seriousness of her trouble and the sadness of her trouble. That there, she was sonless, she was spouseless. But I had this thought right there that I like it. I want to interject it. Now, in her problem and in her sadness, watch this. This is good right here. Brother Vance, I'm glad there's some folks that was helping her carry her trouble. Miss Peggy, I know you've been through a hard time. I wouldn't embarrass you for this whole county. But I'm going to tell you something. There's been people praying for you. Praying for your family. And I know you know that. But aren't you glad, sister, that somebody can help you carry your trouble? Now, that boy died, Brother Mark. Brother Michael, Brother Chuck. And all of a sudden, there's a crowd come by and said, we'll help you carry it. My God, I'm glad I'm in a church of people that helped me carry my trouble. Oh, ain't it amazing that God sends somebody to help you in your trouble? You know what it required? Their hands, not their mouth. Their hands. They helped her carry her trouble. Now, all of a sudden, I see a crowd. Then I see a crisis. But all of a sudden, in verse 13, I see a compassion. Now, far as I know, she hadn't said nothing to him yet. The Bible said, when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. There's a compassion. Aren't you glad we serve a God that has compassion? In Hebrews 4 and verse number 13, the Bible says that there is not any creature that is not manifest or revealed in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we've not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The compassion. I'm glad we've got a compassionate Savior. God's full of compassion. Where would we be if He didn't care? You know, I used to say this. It's amazing the way I've changed. A lot of people think I've just backed up off preaching, but I hadn't. My heart's got tender the older I've got. The more I've pastored and the more I've seen things happen. Let me tell you something. There are sometimes people don't need blessing out. They just need some compassion. They don't need to be bossed. They just need some compassion. They just need somebody that'll care about them. Aren't you glad that Jesus has great compassion? The Bible said that He has feelings just like we have, yet He's never known sin, but He feels what's bothering us today. That's what I love about the Lord. Let me ask you this. How many times have you done something wrong and got away from God? And when you come to God's house, you're sort of scared of what the Lord was going to do. But He had compassion on you. His tenderness, He drew you and loved on you. What compassion of Christ. Now, I don't know if this lady had ever heard of Him or had ever saw Him, but all of a sudden, He just introduced Himself to her. I'm glad that even when I was dead in trespasses and sins, Jesus came by compassion and introduced Himself to me. Now, we see this crowd, we see this crisis, we see this compassion, but now, look at this command. It's a difficult job. It's a difficult job. A lot of you are wanting a miracle, but you don't want to pay to get it. Those saying, like the old preacher said, Jesus ain't going to do nothing as long as you can do it yourself. Don't be thinking he's going to send you a box of groceries if you're not trying to work. You see, we got to do our parts in order to get in on a miracle. Now watch what happens in this command. Verse 13, and it's a pretty tough one. Look what he says. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Weep not." Now that's a hard saying, folks. When you got your young un and you headed out there to that tent, and this is what he said, "Weep not." I bet it astounded her. Let me ask y'all that. I wonder if anybody in that crowd had told her that. I don't know how many she had with her, but she had enough to be carrying that coffin. I wonder if any of them told her to weep not. Matter of fact, when people is hurting and people, most time, I never say that. I say it's fine to cry. And I'm going to tell you, most of the time it is. Thank God we can cry. Matter of fact, if some of you tried, your head wouldn't swell near as bad. Somebody say amen. But all of a sudden, we see this command. He told her, he said, "Now, I want you to weep not." Now, I'm fixing to close. Look at the focus of it. There were two commands, one to the living and one to the dead. It involved faith of the one that was hurt. I'm going to tell you something. You that have been hurt, you're not going to go much further as long as you keep laying in it. You've got to have faith. Look what he says. The Bible said, he said in her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." Now there's the focus of it. There was two commands, one to the living, one to the dead. The faith of it involved faith. And it involved faith of the one that was hurt. I'm going to tell you something. I have been hurt in my life. But I've tried not to dwell in my hurt. I've tried to have faith in my hurt to get me out of my hurt. And all of a sudden, there's the fact of it. Nobody else can speak to the dead. Nobody else could hear the dead but him. We need the Lord to speak to the dead. There's the command of it. Verse 15, there's the commotion of it. There's the power of His Word. And then there's a picture of this Word. Are you ready? This is what the Lord gave me. And Jesus can put people back together again. I want to say this as your pastor, but you don't understand how bad they've hurt me. Well, you've got an option. You can lay in it, or you can listen to what he says and weep not and keep pressing on. Or you can be stuck right in your hurt, or you can listen to his word. For the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm going to tell you, that is a hard command. And I don't belittle nobody's hurt. I've had a man cut me to the bone, got over half of what I had. But let me tell you something, all that hurt. I've had so many hurts, I ain't got enough hour to preach. But thank God I didn't get stuck in my hurt. And there's two things the Lord showed me I didn't get out of a book here, and I just said one of them. No, I take that back. I did get that thought from another writer. This last one I didn't. I did get that He can unite people together again. You say, "Well, preacher, you don't understand just how they are." Well, let's wait just a minute. Let's really think about something. If I keep having the same issues time after time after time, and it's people issues, and somebody, you know, I'm always up on my hobby horse about people. It may not be people. It may be a person. I walked into a Chinese restaurant one time down in Georgia as a preacher over there. He's a hard preacher. I couldn't have him here to preach. Y'all couldn't take him 3 minutes. I was having a bad crisis in my life. I was just having a bad issue with this person. I mean, I just couldn't get over it. It just sort of ruffled my... You ever seen anybody ruffles your feathers when you see them coming? I mean, could we just have a real church down in Bowden and not... Can we put the choir robes in the box a few minutes? And could just we just really think, I mean, somebody just irritates you when you see them coming. I mean, the hair on the back of your neck just stands up. Well, you know what he told me? I said, let me say, preacher, how's it going? I said, that's all right. He said, well, how you doing? I said, I'm about run crazy. He said, what's wrong with you? I told him about an individual. This is years ago. He said, well, preacher, you know what I found out? I said, well, I'm not even going to answer you because I know I'm fixing to. He said, I found out them people that bother me is just like me looking in the mirror. It's just like me. Just like me. You see, Jesus can reunite people together again. And then this is what I want to say, what the Lord gave me. I had to get it up, write it down when He gave it to me. Watch this. He spoke to the buyer and he said, I say unto thee, arise. This is what I want to say. I run all them rabbits to say this. Don't bury it yet. I want to say something because you love me and I love you. Both these boys sitting right here this morning. And I've got enough guts to say it. When that boy walked out of this girl's life, and he walked into our kitchen. Me and Miss Renee was there and this is what she said. Daddy, he don't love me no more. I thought he was killed in a car wreck. Now I grabbed her and I said, well, you listen to me, baby. Your daddy loves you. Where's Libby? Come here, Libby. Come here. Reason I'm saying don't bury it yet. Y'all know we is devastated. We got nothing to hide in this church. We was devastated. It happened to our family. It happened, Brother Randall. And you don't get no help sweeping stuff under the rug. It happened. I stood up and told you it happened. What me and Mama didn't know, what she didn't know, in comes an old boy fixing to fix her office up, and they got starstruck. What we couldn't see is what's in my hand here this morning. When our world come apart that night, I didn't see this. Because you know why the devil won't show you blessings? He just shows you burdens. Say, I love you, Pop. Miss Sherry, would you come? Don't bury it yet. God can do anything. But you got to listen to what He said. You know what? Me and my family's had enough. We could have stayed bitter. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say something to my heart right here, out of my heart. I'm going to say something to you. I know I could be a better pastor. I know I could. I know I could. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm trying my best to be a preacher that God can hear something out of His book. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get nothing no better till you listen to what this book says and apply it in your life. Some of you, it looks like it's the end. But I'm going to tell you, our God can do anything. Brother Vince, there's some things in the Bible I'd love to have been around. I'd love to have seen it when he called Lazarus out of the grave. But I'd love to have seen it when this funeral miracle happened and they stopped and he spoke to that boy in that coffin and he set up. I'd like to have seen the reactions of the mother and the people that was carrying that burden. I close and say this, there may be some people here that's got a big burden. Ooh, I just had another thought. I wonder if they hadn't carried her burden, would it have been right in front of the Lord? I wonder if they'd left her with her burden back over in the house and Jesus come through town. And nobody said, well, I'm not going to help her carry that burden. I wonder would they have met. Oh, I know God's sovereign. But I can tell you this right now. He used that crowd carrying that for. I want to say this. I want to be a preacher, a pastor to help you carry your burden. I want to be a friend to help you carry your burden. I don't want to talk about you when you're down. Because I know the time's coming you can have all the rights in the world to talk about me. I'm human. Don't bury it yet. Don't bury it yet. While we sing this morning, we're going to stand around the house. Would you come?